For our scripture reading this morning, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 113. Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God? Who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Thus far we read God's holy word. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. The text which we consider is found in verse 4 of this psalm. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Beloved of the Lord, this psalm is the first of a group of psalms that is called the Hallel, or the Hallelujah Psalms. These psalms were sung at the three great feasts that were held in Israel, the Passover, the Weeks, and the Tabernacle. They were also sung at New Moon celebrations and at dedications. Our Lord himself sang these psalms with his disciples when they celebrated the Lord's Supper. It is for good reason that these psalms were sung by God's people, sung over and over and over again. For if anything ought to characterize the people of God, it is praise. The people of God ought to be a people who are saying often, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! For God has done so much for us. God has granted us such a great salvation. And in giving us that great salvation, he has showed us himself. He has showed us the greatness of his own divine being. Oh yes, we ought to be singing hallelujah. Especially when we think about how great, how grand, how high our God is. In fact, it is really only when a person comes to recognize the highness of Jehovah that he can truly sing hallelujah from his heart. The more one understands the highness of Jehovah, the more he will praise God for that highness. The highness of Jehovah is the theme of this psalm. The psalmist says, Jehovah is high above the earth. Jehovah is high above the heavens. Jehovah is so high that no one and nothing can be compared unto him. He is high in who He is. He is high in what He has planned. He is high in all that He does. Let us therefore, with the psalmist, leave this earth for a moment. Let us soar above the heavens, as it were, and behold the one who dwells on high, the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Let us behold our God, not as He is seen by so many who look upon Him as lowly, weak, ordinary, but let us see Him as He really is, our sovereign Savior, the Most High God. With that in mind, let us consider this text under the theme, the highness of Jehovah. Notice, first of all, the biblical fact. Secondly, the wondrous manifestation. And thirdly, the blessed result. There were many people who lived in Old Testament times and New Testament times who recognized the highness of Jehovah. But there is one man who stands out as a person who saw the utter highness of Jehovah, and that sight affected him dramatically the rest of his life. That man was the prophet Isaiah. This is the vision that he saw of God. Isaiah chapter 6. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. That is the vision that Isaiah had of Jehovah. And what was his reaction to that vision? Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah saw the King. He saw the Lord of hosts. He saw the Most High God. And that had such a profound effect upon him that he bowed himself to the dust of the ground. He utterly humbled himself before this Most High God. But I ask you, who today has such a vision of God? Who today sees God the way Isaiah saw Him? On the contrary, today people make God low rather than see Him as high. They make Him nothing more than a good buddy. He is a friend, a helper, someone that you can confide in. But who sees Him as the Almighty God who dwells on high? Today, people not only see Him as a mere friend, but as an impotent friend. One who would love to save everyone, but who cannot because man's will simply refuses to comply. God's will is held in bondage to the will of man. God's determination is a slave to the choice of man. God must get down on his hands and knees and beg and plead until finally he convinces man to obey him and serve him. God is supposed to be the ruler of the world, yet man makes him out to be kind of like a frantic old man who is rushing around in heaven, working around man's will and choices, manipulating the circumstances of history so that finally he can get what he wants. Today, man openly denies that God is the creator. He denies the sovereign rule of God. He denies the sovereign grace of God. Man exalts himself above God. Man is the one who is high, and God is the one who is low. How many times have we been guilty of that? How many times have we not consciously recognized the highness of Jehovah? How many times have we not bowed the knee before him in reverence and fear? As others, sometimes we exalt ourselves above God. We murmur and complain about the circumstances of our lives. We question God's will and plan for us. Or we go about our business without even a thought that there is a God in the heavens. We live our lives as if there were no God. I ask you, is that the God that Isaiah served? Oh no. Isaiah served the God of heaven, the high and lofty one. In Isaiah 33, verse 5, he says, "The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high." And that is the way Scripture always presents God. The God of the Bible is not low. He is not impotent. He is not weak. He is the Most High. Listen to the psalmist as he speaks about God in Psalm 18. "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." Now notice, "Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet." When was the last time you heard anyone describe God in those terms? Maybe you've never heard anyone describe God in those terms. But that's the way the psalmist described him. That's the way Isaiah described him. That's the way the Bible describes him. The true God, not the God of man's imagination, but the true God is high. That's exactly what the text teaches us. The Lord is high above all nations. To understand how emphatic this statement is, we have to see that the very first word of the sentence is the word high in the Hebrew language. Literally, we read, high above all nations is Jehovah. And putting the word high at the beginning of the sentence makes it the most important word of the sentence. The one thing that the Holy Spirit would convey to us by this statement is that Jehovah is high. In fact, it's even more emphatic than that, because in this sentence in the Hebrew, there is no verb. High above all nations, Jehovah. And that makes it even more emphatic. It is as if the psalmist has climbed up onto the top of a mountain and he breathes in a deep breath to get as much power in his lungs as he can, and then he belches out at the top of his lungs, high, Jehovah. High, Jehovah. That's the message that God gives to us in this text. That's the thing that you must go home with after this service. A recognition of the fact that the God whom you honor and fear, the God whom you love and adore, He is high. He is so high that He is not only high in Himself, but that highness radiates from Him. Jehovah, as it were, shines in His highness. Just as the light of the sun is so glorious that it shines forth from the sun, so the highness of Jehovah is so beautiful, so wonderful, so great that it radiates from His being. The shining of the sun is the sun's glory. And so the radiance of God's highness is His glory. God is a glorious God, a shining God, as it were. He shines infinitely brighter than the sun. Thus we read in the text, and His glory above the heavens. So we have these two statements. High, Jehovah, above His glory. Jehovah is so high that He is higher than all the nations of the earth and higher even than the heavens themselves. Jehovah and His glory are so high that we must say with the psalmist in verse 5, who is like unto the Lord our God? Can there be found among the nations of the world any being who is as high as God, who can be compared to God? Can the highness of some great king, some monarch, some ruler of an empire come close to the highness of Jehovah? Is there anyone who is as rich as he? As powerful? As wise? As understanding? Is there anyone whose love is unchanging? Whose mercy so abundant? Whose grace is always sufficient? Can you find anyone? Apart from God, man does not even possess these things. Apart from God, we have no mercy. We have no love. We have no wisdom or understanding. We have no riches. We have no power. We have nothing. Isaiah, who had this great vision of God, he put it this way in Isaiah chapter 40. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? Here Isaiah teaches us that all the nations of the world, the billions and billions of people, all put together as one, are like the little film of water that is left on the brim of a pail after you have tipped the pail over and dumped out all the water. It's not even a drop. You can't even call it a drop. It's just a little film that's left. But you might say, ah, but look at the heavens. Look into the sky. Do you see all those brilliantly shining stars? Do you see the millions of galaxies? Or look at the sun in all of its splendor. It shines so brightly that at noonday we can't even look at it with our eyes. It's too bright. Or how about those angels that Isaiah saw before the throne of God in his vision? They had six wings. With two wings they covered their eyes. With two wings they covered their feet. And with two wings they flew. Isn't that glorious? Their voices were so great that when they sang, the very building shook from their voices. And whenever an angel appeared to a person on earth, that angel was bright and shining. He was glorious, so much so that the person to whom he appeared would fall down on his hands and knees in fear and trembling. Aren't angels great, glorious, high creatures? In comparison to us, they are. But in comparison to God, they are nothing. Search the heavens, and you will find nothing and no one that is high enough even to be compared to Jehovah. Verse 5 is further explained by verse 6. Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and the things and in the earth. This does not refer to God's attitude as if God had a humble attitude, as if God looked upon himself as one who was lowly. Oh no. Literally, we read, "Who bends down so low to see in the heavens and in the earth?" The idea is that Jehovah is so utterly high that he has to bend so very low, get down so very low, not only to behold the things of the earth, but even to behold the things of heaven. Jehovah is so high that all creatures, in comparison to him, are insignificant. When we walk down the sidewalk, we don't even think about the ants, the spiders, the other bugs that are crawling on the sidewalk that we step on, we crush, we kill. We don't even think about it because they are so insignificant to us. We, the angels, and all of creation are just like those insignificant insects under the feet of Almighty God. How does Jehovah manifest his highness to us? First of all, we have to recognize that Jehovah in and of himself is high. That is, his very being, his essence is high. He is the I am that I am. He is the totally self-sufficient one who has everything that he needs within his own being. He needs nothing and no one. No one can add anything to God or take anything away from God. He is eternal. He is almighty. He is unchangeable. He is everywhere at the same time. He knows everything. He is all wise. He is sovereign. He is holy. He is righteous. He is good. He is just. He is love, grace, and mercy. And all of this means that Jehovah is God. He is God. The High Jehovah is the one and only supreme being. And therefore, he is infinitely high above all others. You couldn't take a measuring stick and measure and put everybody down on the first inch, and then put God way up here on inch 70. No. The difference between the two is infinite. You could go higher and higher and higher and higher and higher, and you would never reach the point where you would have measured the difference between the High Jehovah and everyone else. That's who he is. The infinite God. We cannot see God in his being. We will never see God in his very essence. Throughout all of eternity, even when we are with God in glory, we will never look directly at God, be able to see God directly. We will always see Him in and through Jesus Christ. God, however, reveals the highness of His being in the highness of the works that He performs. God is high with respect to His sovereign decrees. Look at God's eternal plan. Is there anything so high as God's sovereign will for this world? Is any plan so wondrous, so grand, so beautiful as God's plan? Before the foundation of the world, when there was only God and nothing else, He willed to glorify Himself. He willed to glorify Himself by showing the highness of His being, the blessedness of His life to us. To do that, He willed that all the fullness of His being, all the highness of His being, would be found in Jesus Christ. So that when we look upon Christ, when we know Christ, we see God, the highness of God. He willed that Christ should reveal the highness of His being and the highness of His life by saving us from our sins and taking us up into His covenant life. He willed that Christ would save us from our sins by going to the cross, by suffering and dying for us. Yea, in Christ, God gave Himself for us. He willed that in the way of being saved on the basis of the cross of Christ, we would be filled with love and gratitude for God. We would see His highness and so praise Him and glorify Him. Thus, that ultimate goal, that heart of His will, is reached. Isn't that a beautiful plan? Could you have thought of such a plan? Could you have come up with that beautiful plan for this world? No one thinks and wills like that. God is high with respect to His work of creation. Oh, what a grand display of the highness of Jehovah. There was nothing. There was only God. Nothing else. And God spoke. That's all He did. He didn't fervently work here and there and do this and that and the other thing. He just spoke. And that word brought the world into existence. Think of that. If there's one thing that frustrates us, it's that we speak, and so often our words are just meaningless. Nothing happens. How often do parents become frustrated because they speak and their children do not obey? God merely spoke. And there it was. Is anything so great as that? Have you ever heard of such a thing? Does anyone even attempt to do that? If someone today would say, you want something? Okay, I'll say its word, and there it will be. Does anyone ever try to do anything like that? Of course not. Because no one can. Only God can speak, and it is done. Look at this creation that God has made. We see His highness in the very creation itself. The psalmist saw God in creation in Psalm 18. Do you marvel at the tremendous force of a hurricane or a tornado? Have you ever been in a hurricane or a tornado? Unbelievable power, unbelievable force. You're helpless before it. The psalmist says, He did fly upon the wings of the wind. God was flying in that hurricane, in that tornado. When the winds blow so strong in a great storm, God is in that wind. In the power of that storm, you see the power of God. Just a little taste of it. You stand in awe when the sky fills with thick black thunderclouds. The psalmist says, He makes darkness His secret place, His pavilion round about Him where dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. When you see those black thunderclouds, you're looking at God's pavilion. God's pavilion. Do you wake up at night to the roar of thunder? Do you jump when that lightning streaks across the sky? The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave His voice, hailstones and coals of fire. God is speaking in the thunder. That's God's voice. God is shooting His arrows when the lightning flashes. Who can behold the lofty mountain peaks without recognizing the highness of Jehovah? Who can listen to the roar of the ocean waves breaking against the shore and not think of Jehovah? Who can behold the beautiful, dainty flower in all of its color without thinking of Jehovah? That's the highness of Jehovah. God is high with respect to His work of providence. Jehovah rules the world. Even though when we look at history, it seems so unruly. It seems filled with such trouble, confusion, disorder. One might wonder if anyone is controlling at all. But God is. God is in control. Even when wicked men have their way in this world, so that this world is falling headlong into the most abominable sins, God is directing and controlling all of it. He is bringing about His sovereign will, which is to bring His eternal kingdom and bring glory to Himself. He is bringing about that in and through the wickedness of the wicked. even though the world hates him, rebels against him, God is so ruling that he uses all that rebellion and wickedness for his purpose. The wicked don't know that. They don't realize that they are doing what God has eternally willed from before the foundation of the world. They think that they are disrupting the plan of God and defeating him. But God's eternal will is being done exactly as he wants it to be done. Wicked men are but pawns in his hand who are doing his bidding. That is so true that in Psalm 2 we read this. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Jehovah isn't running around like a madman in heaven trying to make everything work out. He's calmly sitting on his throne. And he's laughing. He's laughing. Do you know why he's laughing? He's laughing because he is so controlling that all the wickedness of the wicked is bringing about just what he decreed. Even though they don't intend to do that, even though they hate him and rebel against him, he's laughing at them that they should think that such puny little creatures could upset the plan of the Most High Jehovah. Is anything so high as that? Have you ever heard of such a thing? Jehovah is high in who he is. He is high in a sovereign decree. He is high in creation and providence. But we must look at one more thing if we are to see just how high Jehovah is. We must look at the cross. We must look at Christ. There is nothing that reveals the highness of Jehovah as does Jesus Christ. He is so high, we said, that he has to bend down just to behold the things in the earth and in heaven. The marvelous thing is, he has bent down. The Most High Jehovah has bent down. Bent down so low that he has come as low as anyone can ever be. Without giving up his highness, he has come down to us in our sin and misery. He has come down to us in our wretchedness as we wallow in our sin. He has come down onto us in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, whom he sent into this world, not only to be made of a woman, to become a human being, but to suffer and to die. He came down so low that he went to the cross, and there he died. He was buried in the ground, and he descended into the depths of hell while on the cross in those 3 hours of darkness. In that bending low, Jehovah has shown us how utterly high he is. Oh, the heights in which God dwells. What glory, what majesty that he should give himself for us insignificant, puny insects. Have you ever heard of that? Maybe someone might give their life for a good person, a quote, good person. But who would give their life for an insect? No one. No one would give their life for an insect. God is so high that he gave himself for us insects. That's what this psalm is about. Verses 4 through 6 cannot be separated from verses 7 through 9. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. That is what Jehovah did for his people Israel, and that is what he does for us who are his people today. In bowing low, he raises us up out of the dust, out of the dunghill. He sets us with princes. He gives to us eternal salvation in this life. A person will never grasp the highness of Jehovah until he has experienced in his own heart and soul the salvation of Jehovah. In Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, we read this: For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. The high and holy one who inhabits eternity. He reaches down to us lowly ones who are contrite and humble, and dwells with us. He lives with us. He shares his life with us. Do you understand how utterly lowly we are? How poor, how needy? What do we have of ourselves? Nothing. Nothing. We are so wretched, so miserable, that even after God saves us and gives to us the most wonderful gift that could ever be given, we still, in our sin, hate him and rebel against him. What vile creatures! We deserve only the torments of hell. We are like the dust of the ground. No, it's even worse than that. We live in the dunghill. In Israel, when things were very bad, they would have to burn manure for heat and for cooking. And so they would put dried manure into a big pile. That was the dunghill. That was the manure pile. That's where we are by nature. We're in the manure pile. Is anything more disgusting than being in a pile of waste? That's where we are by nature. That's how far Jehovah came down to pick us up and to save us. Jehovah is so high that he lifts us up out of the dust, out of the dunghill. By the Spirit of Jesus Christ, he regenerates us and brings us to conversion. He makes us his children. He puts his love in our hearts. He makes us to sit with princes, for we are united to Jesus Christ, the King. And in him, we are princes. We rule with him. Even the angels must bow before us because we rule with Christ. That is what Jehovah has done for us, to show us how high he is. But there's one more thing. Verse 9. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Many commentaries say that this verse does not fit. What does this have to do with the highness of Jehovah? What does a barren woman have to do with salvation? But they make a big mistake. Even though Jehovah is so high that he needs no one and nothing, even though he is so high that he could take the stones and turn them into his children, he gathers his church and saves his people from the wombs of mothers. He is so high that he has ordained to save believers and their seed, us and our elect children. From a physical point of view, it is not a father and mother who make children. It is God who makes children. No woman could bear a single child if it were not for the sovereign will and power of Jehovah. Without God's will and power, all women are barren. God is the one who gives us children so that a woman can be a mother and a keeper of house. But even more than that, all women are by nature spiritually barren. So that a mother cannot bear God's children. A father and mother cannot give to their children spiritual life. And yet, God is so high that he uses a barren woman to bring forth his children into this world. He takes a sinful creature, a sinful father, a sinful mother, and he brings forth one of his children. He uses the imperfect instruction of parents to bring children to a saving knowledge of the truth. Do you see how high Jehovah is? When you think of how unworthy we are, and yet he has chosen to use us. so that we see God raise up the poor out of the dust and lift the needy out of the dunghill as He saves our children before our eyes. There is no godly parent who sees his and her children come to love and serve the Lord who does not say, "The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens." No wonder this psalm is filled with praise. No wonder it begins, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord." And ends, "Praise ye the Lord." Oh yes, in the light of the highness of Jehovah, shown in all that He has done, but especially in Christ and the cross and the work of salvation, our hearts ought to be filled with praise. We ought to sing hallelujah. Because we are so amazed at the utter highness of Jehovah in all that He has done. If your heart and your soul is filled with the highness of Jehovah, then by all means, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord with your voice. Praise the Lord in your actions. Show Him how much you appreciate the fact that He is so high in all that He does. Bless the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. That's our calling, to praise the Lord now and forever. This is what we will be doing in glory in heaven, praising the Lord. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. From the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to bed at night. The one thing that you are to be doing is praising the Lord. Because Jehovah is high and His glory is above the heavens. Amen. Gracious God, our Father, we give Thee thanks that Thou art the Most High God, and that Thou hast revealed that highness to us, especially in Jesus Christ, and in the salvation that Thou dost give to us. Fill our hearts with praise, O Lord. May we sing hallelujah. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.